every word through.
Okay. Well, actually, you made me think that way. I think your writing mm-hmm. made me think that way, because we do this to ourselves too, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. We make it complicated by confusing what we already know. I think we're all very smart and we know ourselves very well. But because of all the things around us, and life is busy, we all have lots of responsibilities and tasks, and they compile in and give lots of messages to us. And then everything gets all chaotic and complicated, and we just get torn or it's busted
right.
in different directions.
And you know where I have seen it too? I've seen it in Pretty Women. And just allow me to be a man for a second. Because not only am I a man, and I've seen Pretty Women and have responded to them, but I've had a sister who was very pretty. I had a mom when she was younger. She was really a pretty lady. And when you know somebody like a sister or a mom or like I know Robin, it's like you see other people reacting to them and you think, gosh, that's so embarrassing. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I do the same thing, you know, to people I don't know. And I think it's just a thing. I mean, you're a pretty lady. You must get the same thing. You know, people who don't know you just respond to that first. That's the first thing they respond to.
I don't notice it.
Oh, you don't notice it? Okay. Your signal got a little bad right there for a second. Are you okay? Are you on a speakerphone by chance? Uh-oh. I think
can't
we lost
hear her.
Her. Can't hear you at all. Jan?
Here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you on a speakerphone?
I'm not, but I'm traveling.
Okay. It's getting better and worse again. So did you say that you've never experienced that?
I think my husband does, but I'm not aware of it.
Oh, really? Well, that is interesting that your husband recognizes it in other people. Well, what about with your profession? When people find out what your profession is, does that seem to come up a lot?
It does, because other people assume, and sometimes I can't. You know, I'm trained to read.
Okay, your signal is so hard to hear through. There's so much garbled. I apologize. I just have to wait, I guess, till the signal gets better. Are you driving through a tunnel?
Yeah, she's traveling somewhere.
Are you driving?
No.
Where are you?
I'm actually, I'm in Europe, and I'm standing in one place, but it's not a very strong connection.
Oh, you're in Europe.
Europe, okay.
How fabulous.
Okay. Well, we heard that part, that you're in Europe. What part of Europe are you in?
I'm in France.
In France? Well, good for you. I want to go to France.
I'm doing some work over here, and I'm very, very fortunate to be doing it. I'm very pleased about that.
Okay, we hear you well now. Okay, now that we hear you well.
Okay.
So what did you observe in the rest of us that made you realize this book was necessary?
What I notice is people assume that they're looking for someone else to tell them the answer. You know, and there's lots of books that do that as well. There's all kinds of answers for other people. If you follow this formula, A, B, C, D, you'll be happy, or you'll get thin, or you'll be this way, or that way, or so forth. And I just don't think that's true. I think what we all need is to tune into what we already know ourselves, because each of us has our own innate answer, and it's very true for us. And so what we need to do is quiet all the outside messages so that we can tune into what our internal wisdom is.
Okay.
And that's what I noticed about other people.
Yeah, well, that's pretty intuitive, but it's scary, isn't it, for the rest of us? If you look at the rest of nature, you know, I'm being not really silly, but this is almost like doesn't need to be said. But if you look at how bears and birds, and they don't need to read a book to know how to do what they've been gifted to do.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it is kind of scary. If you want to enter into anything, you sort of have to have a little bit of guidance, no?
Well, yes, but I think that we have that at some level. I think that we've all experienced that inner, and I am going to get a little zen about this. I think we've all experienced at some level, to different degrees, that inner calm, you know, when we just breathe. It doesn't even have to be some big zen thing, but when you have that calm moment. I remember I was talking to a client once who didn't consider himself to be very evolved, so to speak. And he said, I don't get this meditation stuff. You know, don't tell me any of that kind of stuff. I just don't get it. I said, that's fine. All I want is for you to breathe. And he said, okay, I can do that. I said, good. Okay, so just breathe and tell me how you feel. And he said, oh, I just feel so relaxed. I feel so calm. I feel so good. And I said, well, that's what it is. That's all it's about. When you feel that calmness, then the rest of the chaos goes away. And you can pay attention to what's really important because all the outside stuff isn't shouting at you.
And you talk about purpose in your book, and like I had a purpose until my children grew up. I mean, I was always there for them and I helped them grow up and everything, and then they left and then I had to find another purpose. How hard is it for somebody to switch gears like that after all those years of doing one thing and then you have to do something else?
Oh, Robin, I think it's so hard, and this is where I think we all have, you know, a big shift in life, and it keeps going on through one shift after another, whether it's children or jobs or retirement or whatever. But I think there's a universality with our purpose. I think we do have one purpose. It's that it shifts. So if you were to look at how you were with your children, perhaps you'd find a similarity in your approach with them and to how you approach your work. You know, maybe you have a way, and obviously I don't know you personally, so I don't know, but perhaps you have a way of, oh, I'm just going to throw out, being particularly creative with them and with your work and with your friends and with your home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe your unique purpose is about how you create within your world, and it applies in lots of different situations. And so that's what your purpose is, and it has its application throughout your whole lifespan.
Oh, I love that.
That makes sense. I would imagine you have to be a little bit introspective to analyze whatever new thing you're doing and how to apply the old skills to the new thing.
Exactly. And if you take the time to do that, then you can feel a lot more energy about it because you realize, oh, yeah, that chapter, it might be over, but, you know, this new one, it's going to be good. It's not just going to be okay because I can still do all those great things in a different way.
The book is called It's Not That Complicated. Jan Bowen is calling in from France.
and awesome.
The signal is much better now. Thank you. How to create a personalized template of alignment. So let's take a little break and continue this conversation on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Source, WOCA Ocala.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Safe boating is no accident. After some morning cloudiness, it'll turn out mostly sunny and noticeably cooler today than recent days, with highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Mainly clear and colder tonight, with lows ranging from the mid-30s and a few inland spots to the mid-40s on the coast. On Tuesday, some clouds to start, then some sun, breezy and cool with highs in the low to mid-60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high 60 to 64. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
You've got a garden, and we've got a show for you, called You've Got a Garden, with your host, Master Gardener Carol Ann Baldwin. Carol Ann answers your questions about your flowers, your veggies, your grass, your trees, even questions about your bugs. And she's only on WOCA, so don't miss Carol Ann Baldwin and You've Got a Garden each Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on WOCA The Source.
All right, 16 minutes after 10 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. Jan Bowen has written the book titled It's Not That Complicated, How to Create a Personalized Template of Alignment. So we're picking her brain a little bit about what's between the covers of the book and to figure out how to apply these principles to ourselves. Jan, the one thing I've often thought about, when you look at like one of these TV shows where they're looking for the next best singer or something like that, that there is two things that come to mind. First of all, the people who lose early on, they had a dream of becoming a singer, and they were just told, "You're never going to make it."
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a reality check for them, or if it's just a moment where they say, "I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this anyway."
Yeah, and I think it's a combination, and it varies for the person. Sometimes I think it's a test. You know, it's like, this avenue wasn't the right time and place for this choice. So let's just say I love the show The Voice. I mean, I'm addicted to that show, and I'm not a huge television person. I get real restless with it. But The Voice, oh my gosh, I love it. But, you know, sometimes that it's just not the right time and place for the contestants at that stage. It doesn't mean, though, that there aren't going to be other opportunities that will pan out even greater for them in their life. That one wasn't their last shot. It just wasn't the one that was meant for them then.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah.
And in that particular vein, there is no such thing for somebody who wants to become a lawyer. There's no such thing for somebody who wants to become a fireman. I mean, there's no like test to see early on if you're not cut out for it, you know? It's kind of an interesting phenomenon, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's why it comes down to, I mean, we really, to make a really good life for ourselves, I believe we really have to have a lot of strength. And to be full adults, which is something we don't really talk a lot about. And when we raise children, I don't believe we talk a lot about raising real full adults. And I think it takes knowing what our values are and living by them wholeheartedly. You know, really embracing what our strengths and values are and then saying, yeah, I can support that, but that's not really me. Yeah. You know, that's not my best thing. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm an attorney, if I want to go after being an attorney, I know I'm going to make a really good one because I've got this down in spades. These are my strengths. This is my wheelhouse.
Now, you also talk about people that aren't motivated. They're unhappy. They're not motivated. And they seem to say, woe is me, and blame everybody else in the world for not doing what it is they want to do. How do you help those people switch gears and get on the right track, that it really is up to them?
You know, I have great compassion for that situation. At the same time, it's a tricky one because there's compassion with a sense of timing. If there's an issue of pain for some reason, there's a period of grief that has to be handled. We can't ignore something if there's a natural grieving period. But then it's time to look in the mirror and say, okay, yeah, that hurts, and life is full of pain. And I'm not going to let this pain become who I am. I'm going to use it as a way of making me a deeper person and move forward. And then looking at it full-heartedly and saying, okay, this is what I want to make out of my life. And if I don't do it now, you know, there's no guarantee tomorrow's going to be here and offer the same opportunities. Those opportunities may or may not be there tomorrow. But and I just don't think it's worth the risk.
Comment on this, another observation, that when we are authors, singers, public personalities, the public views us as that thing. However, if I was a dishwasher or a waiter or a mechanic, well, people might think of me, I'm a mechanic, but I mean, most of those people have things on the side that is their true love and is their true soul and spirit. A dishwasher, for example, might be a very talented artist, but he's just not making money at it yet, so he or she is washing dishes to pay the bills. So the true spirit of who we are may not necessarily be the thing we make money at.
Right. And I think that gets back to what Robin was saying about, you know, raising children and the purpose changing. We are who we are. And that, it may evolve. It does evolve, but it doesn't change. An artist is an artist. So an artist washing dishes, if you see an artist washing dishes, they have a unique way of washing dishes. It's artistic.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting.
Yeah. And then they'll go on to do whatever else they do in an artistic way. And it's quite interesting because if they're an artist graphically, they'll represent it graphically. If they're a musical artist, you'll see it come out musically. So something about that innate purpose is just going to be revealed. It's up to us to listen to it.
Are you in Paris right now?
I am.
See, and the reason I ask is because it's this topic. So many of the artists that we know about lived as poor people. And now their paintings right there in that city you're in are selling for millions of dollars.
True. And the city also has a tremendous amount of poverty. I mean, it's the extremes, right? We know the glamour of it. It's a big city with all sides. Mm-hmm. It is.
Now, you talk about scheduling also. If a person has a very structured life and everything has to be so every day, it's hard for them to veer off when that might be better for them to just allow themselves to veer every once in a while.
Exactly. I think if a person is a very rigid person, letting go is exactly what's needed, and vice versa. You know, if somebody's really loose, a little structure is a good thing.
Right, exactly. fly by the seat of my pants kind of thing.
I want to get to know Jan Bowen. I want to get to know you a little bit. So how did you become so smart? Did you have a moment in your life when you were going down the wrong path and you said, wait a minute, this isn't working for me?
You know, I've had lots of moments. I've had lots of times where I had thunderbolts. I don't know that I would say any of them were wrong paths, but I had lots of thunderbolts. I've always been a person who was tuned in intuitively to really huge messages from the time I was a child, and that was unusual. So I felt like I never quite fit in with how everyone else was listening and talking, because it seems like I was talking a different language.
Okay. And did you see that as something that would define yourself and the path you would end up taking?
No, I just thought it was really strange and really uncomfortable. luckily, I had a mom and dad who they didn't really, I don't know if they understood it or not, they just made me feel like it was special, and they just made me feel really special. But no, I just felt weird. I just felt really weird until I was quite old, actually.
So do you ever get together with people who are maybe in your family or maybe not, but they're simply younger than you and they're looking ahead to their future and they're confused? Are you able to sit them down and kind of and help them make sense of whatever ambitions they have for their own selves?
I do. With my work, I work with clients, and then I also spend as much time as whenever I'm asked to help younger people, I just will do that freely because I feel like it's one of my callings. So I enjoy doing that very much. Yeah.
Do you think leaders have ever maxed themselves out where they can't take themselves to the next level anymore?
I think sometimes they get maxed out physically if they're not doing some self-care. I think leaders are always able to evolve in their message, but the next level of message doesn't come unless they're really taking care of themselves.
Do you know, we had a story, this was years ago, and the listeners have heard me tell this story many times, but I want to tell it to you. There was a lady we had as a guest, and she worked on Wall Street, and when 911 happened, she decided to quit her well-paying job that she hated and do the thing she always wanted to do, which was to live on the beach in Florida, that's how we know her, and paint. And just painting itself wasn't paying the bills, so she started painting T-shirts, and voila, she ended up with a little business, and she lives now, I guess, she's still over there in New Smyrna Beach, not too far from here. Okay, so she makes less money, but she's 1,000 times happier than she had ever been. Mm-hmm. And how I'm using that to ask you a question is, it seems like 911 was tragic, but for her, it was a wake-up call. I'm guessing in our lives, we all have different wake-up calls that makes us say, oh my gosh, I haven't done what I really love doing yet, and time is running out. Do you run into wake-up calls a lot?
I've had several. Yeah, 911 was one for me. I worked in New York at the time, and yeah, it was a wake-up call for me too.
Really?
I was and commuted to New York for months. In New York. So it was hard. It was really hard.
So did you change your life as a result of that? I mean, did you, and why did you, and why did she? I mean, I always thought the reason was because she could have died, and the fact that she didn't made her realize, I'm not living even though I'm alive, and she wanted to live.
Mine was more, in some ways not. Mine was commuting so many hours that I wasn't spending time with my family, my husband, and my home. And so commute time, what I was not wanting to do anymore. I loved my job, and part of me didn't want to give it up out of defiance. I thought, you know, I don't want to swear, but swear words were, you know, right at the top of it. Yeah. And at that time, even more so. Because I felt very defiant about not quitting and not leaving when the world was like that. But the commute back and forth from Seattle to New York and not being with my husband in my home, that wasn't the thing I wanted to continue.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty big commute, right? Jan, I've really loved talking to you. I hope if you ever get a chance and you're in Florida, you come by the studio so we can have you in the studio. I have a copy of Jan's book here. Call me if you want it, and the rest of us have to go buy it. Jan, do you have a website?
I do. It's my name, JanLBowen.com.
Easy enough, JanLBowen.com. And to make it even easier, Robin already has that on our guest list. If you go to WOCA.com, you'll be able to find Jan's name, the description of the book, as well as the website at the 10:05 slot for today's date, January 11th. Thank you, Jan. Thank you for being on. Have fun in Paris. How long are you there until?
I'm here until the 20th.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
What's the weather like? Is it cold there?
It's cold, rainy, and windy.
It'll get better. You got to see the city of lights.
Do you know any French curse words?
I do.
That was fun. Jan, thank you so much. All right, we'll be right back.
Thank you both.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. His incomparable music career spanned four decades. David Bowie, after a year and a half battle with cancer, has died at 69. Bowie just released his latest album, Black Star, on Friday, which was also his birthday. President Obama delivers his last State of the Union address tomorrow.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the president's